You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Folks, but tomorrow on January the 19th, Keith Alexander, Eddie the Bombardier Miller, and yours truly will be celebrating the birth of the greatest American that ever lived. Robert E. Lee, General Robert E. Lee, born January 19th, 1807. This man, people say, you know, he had a character above reproach, and they throw that around sometimes. This man actually did. Never got a demerit. The only cadet who ever went through West Point Military Academy, never to receive a single demerit. His reputation was by friend and foe alike. They looked upon him as a man of dignity and of honor. He turned down the opportunity to command the Union Army and instead took a commission as, of course, the commander of the Confederate Army of Northern Virginia. And his birthday is tomorrow. And Keith Alexander is going to contrast the kind of man that Robert E. Lee was versus the kind of man that whose birth we will celebrate and, in fact, have a national holiday for on Monday. But first, Keith, I want to read this letter that came in this week from Buddy in Collinwood, Tennessee. Buddy, listen, brother, I love you. Buddy is one of the greatest supporters of the political cesspool that we have. I have had the opportunity to meet this man, and he embodies some of the same characteristics as Robert E. Lee, let me tell you that. But this letter came in this week from Buddy in Collinwood, Tennessee, and it reads, Dear James, I came across the enclosed article while going through one of my files recently, and it rekindled my outrage toward the government because I remember a few years ago when the Sons of Confederate Veterans appealed to the United States Postal Service to consider issuing a commemorative stamp in recognition of the 200th anniversary of General Robert E. Lee's birth. Needless to say, the Postal Service turned down the request because they said General Lee did not meet the requirements for a commemorative stamp, but somehow the criminal savage Malcolm X did. Malcolm X, in other words, received the commemorative stamp, Keith, from the Postal Service. Robert E. Lee was denied because he didn't measure up, according to them. How much more degenerate and depraved can the so-called American government get? In view of General Lee's birthday, which is coming up tomorrow, folks, I thought the contrast and the commemorative issue stamp would be an enlightening subject for the political cesspool to cover. I can't thank you enough for what you are doing for us. Sincerely yours, Buddy. Keith, I'm going to let you answer that. The stamp that Malcolm X got that Robert E. Lee didn't, and then the kind of man that Lee was compared to Malcolm X and, of course, Martin Luther King, whose birthday we will celebrate in the form of a national holiday on Monday.
Well, Robert E. Lee was, as they said, of General George Washington, first in peace, first in war, and first in the hearts of his countrymen. Robert E. Lee was a paragon. He was graduated number two in his class, the 1829 class of West Point, the United States Military Academy at West Point, New York. But he has, and to this day remains, the only student to graduate from West Point without incurring a single demerit. That should show you something of the sterling character of this individual, because believe me, they weren't grading on the curve back in 1829 at West Point. And if you didn't get a demerit, there was no fudge factor involved in that at all. You can say that the man was a perfect student soldier at West Point. He was a perfect hero during the Mexican War. He increased his stock considerably, showed his mettle under fire, and was selected by Abraham Lincoln to lead the United States Army. But like most people in most states in the United States, both North and South, on the eve of the Civil War, he felt he owed his first allegiance to his state and not the federal government. And if you'll recall, that's totally consistent with the U.S. Constitution, which said that all sovereignty begins with the states and they only loan a small part of it to the federal government. You did not have the Leviathan federal government back in those days that you have today. And quite frankly, Abraham Lincoln and the Civil War were the two heads of a hydra that gave us this perverted notion of what the United States of America should be as opposed to what the founding fathers of the United States of America thought it should be. The South was consistent with what the founding fathers thought, and Lincoln was totally opposed. He wanted a large, wealthy nation that could project power and economic force throughout the world. And unfortunately for the world and for the United States, he got it. Now, compare Robert E. Lee, who was totally honorable in all of his dealings. There's no question of scandal with him whatsoever, even though there's a recent PBS special on about Robert E. Lee that tries to suggest that there were some, you know, questions about whether he recommended the beating of female slaves. There's one quotation for that, and quite frankly, to impugn the character of a man as exalted as Robert E. Lee, you'd think they would need more than one source. But they're trying to bring down Robert E. Lee because they want to bring down the South generally and white America, the South specifically and white heroes in American history generally. Now, compare Robert E. Lee's character with that of Malcolm X was already considered somewhat X-rated. But what about that paragon, St. Martin Luther King? St. Martin Luther King was a physical and sexual abuser of women. This is well documented by J. Edgar Hoover's FBI surveillance. Martin Luther King was caught by FBI agents running naked down the hallways of his hotel in Stockholm, Sweden, where he had gone to accept the Nobel Peace Prize, chasing white prostitutes, hollering out, "I'm effing for Jesus, and I'm going to be a white man tonight." This is documented in FBI files. Furthermore, on the night before he was assassinated, he had two prostitutes in his room at the Lorraine Motel and beat up one of them. This is the guy that is supposedly the one that we are supposed to hold to be worthy of not only veneration, but unprecedented veneration. He's going to be the one person that has a holiday, a national holiday, named exclusively for him. But Robert E. Lee is just, you know, small potatoes. In fact, probably a much worse man in the eyes of the politically correct today than Robert E. Lee. Rather than Martin Luther King. Martin Luther King was also a plagiarist. Nobody ever accused Robert E. Lee of plagiarism. Martin Luther King plagiarized his doctoral thesis at Boston University from another student. And even the people at Boston University admit that, but they're not going to take any sanctions against him. All right, we'll get back to the dissection of Martin Luther King versus Robert E. Lee after these words from our sponsors.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Are you looking to experience the great outdoors in comfort? Are you sick and tired of sleeping bags that are too small, cots that are too narrow, or backpacks that just don't stand up to the wear and tear? Look no further than Teton Sports, a leader in quality, comfortable camping gear. Try our Teton Sports Mammoth 0° sleeping bag. This comfortable, family-sized sleeping bag can hold two adults and one child, or four young children. Its interior storage pocket holds wallets, keys, and other valuables. Or check out our Teton Sports Outfitter Extra Extra Large Cot, a camping cot with a steel frame. It's more than 7 feet long and 3 feet wide and supports up to 600 pounds. Then it folds up to a manageable 3.5 feet by 1 foot. Or our Teton Sports Explorer 4000 internal frame backpack. Its dual aluminum stays adjust to the contour of your back and can hold up to 4,000 cubic inches. Padded shoulder straps, padded waist belts, and padded lumbar area for maximum comfort with airflow systems to reduce heat. It's time you start camping comfortably. Look for Teton Sports products online or at a store near you.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll free at 1-866-986-6397. And now back to tonight's show.
When somebody loves you, it's no good unless he loves you. All the way. Happy to be near you when you need someone to cheer you. All the way. Taller than the tallest tree is. That's how it's got to feel. Deeper than the deep blue sea is. That's how deep it goes.
Celebrating Valentine's Day a couple of weeks early here. That was Keith's love song to General Lee here on the night before his birthday. But no, seriously, again, Keith, in that last segment, we were talking about the contrast that Buddy brought up for us to make. Robert E. Lee's birthday is tomorrow. Instead of celebrating a fine American, you know, he was basically an aristocrat. The Lee family came as close to nobility, a royalty, as you will find here in this country. And everything about this man was virtuous and righteous. And, you know, I've been to the Lee Chapel in Lexington, Virginia, and it's just, it's so moving. I mean, we have Forrest here, and we love Forrest as Tennesseans, but Lee, I mean, truly had no peer among men. And, yeah, but no, we don't celebrate his birthday this week. We celebrate Martin Luther King. We don't have Robert E. Lee commemorative stamps from the Postal Service. We have commemorative stamps honoring Malcolm X. And the brainwashing has become so complete that a few days ago, my wife wanted a CD from the local Christian bookstore, so I went in there to get the CD, and I saw all of these posters honoring St. Martin Luther King here in the Christian bookstore, the Baptist bookstore. Nothing there of Robert E. Lee, whose Christianity was front and center. He lived it. He spoke of it. It was something that you just couldn't... He just couldn't betray it. It was just a part of who he was, part of the very marrow of his bone and fabric of his being. But no, nothing about Robert E. Lee there in the Christian bookstore. But when it talked about great Christians in America, there was Martin Luther King. So again, continue the comparison and contrast, Lee versus Malcolm X and Martin Luther King.
How ironic, James, that we're talking about St. Martin Luther King as opposed to Robert E. Lee, the reprobate, when the real sexual reprobate was Martin Luther King. That is, you know, that man had so many extramarital affairs that it beggars belief. But that's all forgotten about. That's all swept under the rug. Furthermore, he plagiarized not only his doctoral thesis, and that's been confirmed by Boston University, but of course they'll take no action against him. If any normal person was found to have done that, they'd revoke his degree. But he also, Martin Luther King, also plagiarized his letter from the Birmingham jail. That was written for him, too. He was a fraud and a phony. Furthermore, he was a communist operative. He received money from the Soviet Union's operative, David Levison, who always, a Jewish gentleman, who always wound up in his inner circle, despite being warned off of him by the Kennedys, Jack Kennedy and his brother Robert, who told him that he was a communist and he'd bring discredit to the movement. It didn't matter because he was a bag man paying Martin Luther King because the Soviets gave Levison total and complete discretion about how to spend their money in a way that would most advance the revolution in the United States. And early on, Levison decided that the best use of their money, where they got the most bang for their buck, was with Martin Luther King. If Martin Luther King had not been getting well paid by someone to do what he did, guess what? He probably would have given it up. So again, you see how Jewish power and influence, one, and the corrupting power of money was behind all of these radical egalitarian movements, including the supposedly sacred U.S. Civil Rights Movement. This is what happened. Martin Luther King is a fraud, a moral reprobate, and a phony. Robert E. Lee was the real McCoy. He's the one that we should be honoring tomorrow and on Monday, and we should blithely ignore any attempt to make us or our children bend our knee to the false graven image of Martin Luther King.
And you don't have to be a Southerner to celebrate Lee. You don't even have to be an American to celebrate Lee. And we should, you know, you could have easily spent an hour tonight, Keith, talking about the history of Robert E. Lee, the man he was, the general he was. It's just such a big character in our history. But perhaps we will get into him a little more deeply during our Confederate History Month series. I got to get to this question, Keith, that's come into you via email from Idaho. A listener in Idaho writes that he would very much like to hear Keith tell us what he knows of the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendments. These are the so-called war amendments, and they very much changed our status at law and gave the federal government powers it was not intended to have. That comes from Wes in Idaho, wants you to talk about the 13th, 14th, 15th Amendments. What do you know about them, Keith? What did they do?
They were all what he said, the Civil War amendments that were passed by the radical Republican-dominated Congress after the U.S. Civil War. And they were intended to be vindictive towards the South. The 13th Amendment abolished slavery. The 14th Amendment said that state laws as well as federal laws, and this was unprecedented, before the 14th Amendment, the U.S. Constitution only applied to the federal government and restricted their power to pass laws or enactments, not the laws of the states. The 14th and 15th Amendment, the 14th Amendment was the Due Process Clause applied to the states. It was already applied to the federal government in the 6th Amendment. And the 15th Amendment was the Equal Protection Clause, the infamous Equal Protection Clause. Now, these laws were not intended, even by the radical Republican Congress, to have the breadth and width they had under the Jewish-dominated U.S. Supreme Court under Earl Warren in the 50s and 60s. What you could say was that the obviously, for example, the Equal Protection Clause was used to justify the Brown versus Board of Education decision in 1954 that prohibited racially segregated public schools in America. Now, that was so far from the intent of the Congress that passed the 14th, 15th, and 13th Amendments that that same Congress instituted in that same session of Congress in which they passed those amendments, they passed a law creating a racially segregated school system in Washington, D.C., the District of Columbia. Back then, in those days, you didn't have a mayor and city council for Washington, D.C. Washington, D.C. was governed directly by the U.S. Congress, and pursuant to their authority to govern the District of Columbia, they instituted a racially segregated school system. So the entire basis in terms of legislative history for the Brown decision is fallacious. It's false. It's phony. It was a ruse. That's very important for people to know, that basically these wartime amendments had nowhere near the scope and breadth that they were given later on by dishonest judges wearing black robes in the Supreme Court by the people that actually passed those laws, as bad as they were.
We'll be back right after this, folks. Stay tuned if you can.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. You're home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cofcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
Oh yeah, oh, wanna be by my side. Oh yeah, oh, now it's finally time.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. The political cesspool halfway done tonight. That means we still got the second half to go. Still much more radio forthcoming before we're all done this evening. And, of course, we'll just be back with you next Saturday. You know that. And next week, I might add, we're going to have some pretty big announcements, some exciting stuff. I'm finally going to be able to give you all the behind-the-scenes scoop of my experience taping this reality television series, which is going to be debuting here in a few days, and I'm going to be able to tell you everything about it next week, and I will. But first, Keith Alexander's brought some stuff in that has caught his eye from newspapers between here and the Deep South, and let's see what he's got in store for you.
Well, particularly there was a great article in last Friday, not this past Friday, but Friday week's Houston Chronicle, which said that accidental injuries and deaths are probably not quite as accidental as we think. This was the result of studies done by two Harvard demographers, including one named Deborah He, Oriental lady, obviously, and as demographers, you would think that they must be breaking this down on the basis of race and ethnicity, since that's the subject that demographers specialize in. Now, this is what it said. It said that basically it's no accident that certain people have automobile accidents that prove to be deadly or serious, and that other types of accidental injuries like this are often very predictable based upon the people who are involved. People that have reckless tendencies, have sociopathic tendencies. All of this, of course, was brought out without once mentioning one of the factors that contributes to a very high incidence of these type of injuries among racial minorities, which is, of course, race. Now, I found that very interesting that they would make those type of assertions and never once mention race. It seems as if there is a conspiracy of silence about discussing race candidly, openly, and honestly in the mainstream media. But when I read that these two people were demographers, it was quite obvious that they were doing this study in order to determine if there was a racial component to the fact that, for example, blacks tend to be the victims of violence more often, seem to have a higher mortality rate from accidents, have higher rates of accidents, serious accidents and whatnot. And of course, other types of people with other characteristics likewise have high rates of mortality and injury because of accidental death and being involved in accidents. But this type of thing is, you know, a taboo in today's politically correct world. There's no question that there are characteristics that people have that make them accident prone or more likely to get in serious accidents. And that's what the whole gist of this article was, James. Wasn't it interesting that these two demographers absolutely ignored demography whatsoever in their report that they gave to this newspaper?
You would absolutely go insane, as so many people have, trying to follow the rules of political correctness. Obviously, that couple we talked about in the last hour that would rather be with sons, so-called sons they'd never even met that they are attempting to adopt, than be with their own biological children. I mean, this sort of insanity is the result of trying to adhere to the rules of political correctness. How can you know, a story like this exists without taking in race into effect? And we talked about this as well, too, in our midweek lunch in preparation for tonight's show, Keith. We were talking about that They will tell you race is a social construct and race doesn't exist except when whites are doing something that they feel as though they should be criticized for. Then race is the one and only determinant as to why that happened. The race is the greatest reality when it comes down to using it to condemn whites. Or if a black person or non-white had done something worthy of praise, like, for instance, Barack Obama being elected president. I mean, what's the significance of Barack Obama being elected president if we all are part of one big human family? There is no significance in the fact that he's a black man because black doesn't exist because race is a social construct. I mean, it's just so baffling. It's really no different than the whole emperor has no clothes tale, because this is, well, you can't make sense of it. Even as I try to articulate it here, I find myself as a loss of words that they could be so foolish and never once take note that there is a double standard here and it exists. And again, we see it play out here. This kind of reminds me of the story out of New York recently, where they're trying to pass a law in New York City or pass a rule in New York City to where you can't mention a person's race, gender, or age when identifying a potential suspect for a crime. You can, you know, there's a human that committed a crime here, and we better go find him. Well, how do you describe him? Well, he's a human. Or you can't even say he. You can't use, you might be able to use height, but you can't mention age, race, or... I mean, it's sick, sick, sick. Yeah, then that'd be discriminatory against midgets, I guess. But anyway, Keith, you see where I'm going with this. And just that story scrambled my brain a little bit, and I had to try to chase a couple of rabbits down their holes.
Well, look, they're playing a game where the rules are heads I win, tails you lose. Race is important when it can be used to bludgeon whites and the white race. Race is totally irrelevant and a red herring if the results of racial analysis are uncomplimentary or to non-whites. And that's the long and short of it. Heads I win, tails you lose.
All right, Keith, that being said, and we're going to have Peter Scoop Stanton, I believe, call into the last segment of this hour. You know, Scoop works during the hours that we are live on the radio, so he calls in when he can. Normally it's the last segment of the first hour. Sometimes he gets toggled a little bit, but... What else do you have for us from the pages of what passes for newspapers these days?
Well, look, the newspaper, the Fish Wrap in Memphis, is really crazy. What you have here in Memphis is an effort by our elites to constantly promote the prospects of non-whites at the expense of whites. I was told by a good friend who lives in the Houston area that basically the elites in Houston give all lip service to affirmative action and whatnot, but when it comes to making hiring and promotion decisions within their own companies, Yes. They always promote the best and brightest, and that's usually not a black or a Hispanic. But in a place like Memphis, which is eaten up with political correctness because of, I guess, the large black population, 65%, what you continually encounter is that marginally qualified black candidates get a job and a highly qualified white candidate is turned down. That wouldn't happen in a sensible place or a place where private enterprise thrives. Private enterprise does not thrive in Memphis. In fact, this same person commented to me that most economic activity in Memphis seems to be efforts by individuals to milk the government cow through the fence. Like charter schools, for example, are trying to operate separate entities from the public schools by milking that government cow and getting federal and state and local money intended for public schools and diverting them into the charter school system. This is what happens when you get a large minority population. You see private enterprise and the hard rules of to the victor goes the spoils and only the strong survive. Forget about that. Only the weak get the job, and as a result, then they sit and scratch their heads and wonder why the private sector in a place like Memphis is so anemic.
You bring up another great point, Keith, in the contrast between race as a social construct versus race actually means everything in the hiring of affirmative action candidates and the diversity that workforces must display. Now, again, I don't want there to be discrimination at all. If there are two candidates and the black is the superior candidate, he should get the job or the position or the scholarship. I believe that. But unfortunately, that's the exception rather than the rule in most cases, and you see better qualified white candidates punished because they're white. So race exists in these instances as well. Keith, our audience, my friend, I got an email here from Lafayette, Colorado here just in the last few seconds, and we were talking about the Robert E. Lee or the lack thereof of a Robert E. Lee commemorative stamp when compared to the stamps that exist for Rosa Parks and Malcolm X. Well, our listener in Colorado discovered that there was, in fact, a Robert E. Lee stamp issued in 1957. You got to go back to the 50s, the Halcyon days, Keith, but there was one. It doesn't surprise me that that's when it happened. We got to take a break.
Right after these messages here on the Liberty News Radio Network.
Would you like being an insider? Would you like getting exclusive access to prizes and better deals? Would you like some help in making sure you and your loved ones are prepared for the next disaster or emergency? If you answered yes to any of these, here's your simple solution. Join Freeze Dry Guy's Survival Insider Club. Not only is your membership free, you get $10 in survival bucks just for signing up. Then you save at least 10% on purchases, plus enjoy insider access to specials, prizes, and other exclusive offers. Since 1970, veteran-owned Freeze Dry Guy has been your trusted source for long-lasting, easy-to-make freeze-dried food and dehydrated food, perfect for emergency preparedness, RV travel, and outdoor needs from camping to sailing. Enjoy life as a survival insider. Call Freeze Dry Guy now at 866-404-3663, 866-404-FOOD, or log on to freezedryguy.com. That's freezedryguy.com.
The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right. There's a free scientific test you could take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free, F-R-E-E, free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211 or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor score test today.
We fought, we learned, we struggled, we won. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Darling, you can count on me till the sun dries up.
All right, everybody, welcome back. James Edwards, Keith Alexander, Eddie Bombardier Miller will be flying into the studio here for the third and final hour, and he's loaded. Eddie went out with us as we were gallivanting around Memphis on, what day was that, Keith? Tuesday, Wednesday? On Wednesday, we went down by Nathan Bedford Forest Park. Anytime we're in Midtown, we like to go down by Forest Park and pay homage and our respects. You know, we give respect where respect is due. And that trip to Forest Park that Eddie and Keith and I took on Wednesday might have something to do with what you'll be receiving in your mailbox, folks, if you responded to our fourth quarter fundraising appeal in December. So again, stay tuned or keep an eye out on your mailbox. Now, Eddie was hot and bothered, and we're going to tell you why when he gets in here for the third hour. But first, we're going to go to Peter Scoop Stanton, who has God only knows what for us. I tell you, Scoop and Sam Bushman have sent me so many good stories this week. I probably about a half a dozen each, all stories that should and will be covered on this show as soon as we can work them in. And maybe we can get to a couple of those tonight with Scoop. Scoop, what do you got for us, my friend and brother?
Good evening, Cesspool family. I'm a little bit under the weather, but I'm going to trudge through. First of all, I'm surprised you didn't recognize another major milestone birthday for somebody you all know and love. And the person I'm talking about is James Patrick Page, guitarist of Led Zeppelin, The Firm, and The Yardbirds. He turns 70 years old this month.
Well, you know, we indulge on this show and sometimes honor whoever we want to. And well, I guess that included last week with our program-long salute to the late Phil Everly, whose song devoted to you, Keith's favorite of the Everly Brothers. We just played again at the top of that segment. But yes, indeed, Scoop, we will honor Mr. Page as well here on the Cesspool. Him and Robert E. Lee, I mean, two peas in a pod, of course. So what do you got for us? What do you got for us tonight,
now,
Scoop?
Back to the news. First piece of news has to do with MLK. Oliver Stone, who is a left as left can be, is no longer involved in the Martin Luther King biography film because he wanted to talk about his infidelity and the powers that be at Warner Brothers and DreamWorks said that they're not going to go with Stone because it looked like a smear campaign against MLK. And now Stone, who makes famous movies about the 60s, including Platoon, The Doors, Born the 4th of July, JFK, who does a pretty good job. But
well, and I'll tell you this, Scoop, I'm glad you brought that up. Oliver Stone, probably the only filmmaker since Walt Disney to talk about the Jewish control of Hollywood. Now, it's been subversive, and he certainly took some heat for that a couple of years ago, Oliver Stone did. And so you're basically saying because he wanted to make a movie about King that just wasn't completely lavish in praise towards this cretin that was at least partially honest, he got booted off the project.
You would be correct. And what's funny is that Mr. Stone is also a member of the tribe.
Yeah, but you know what? Even members of the tribe can't say anything against the tribe. So it's, you know, there's a true conspiracy of silence going on there. And you coming from New York should be as Jew-wise as anyone, Peter.
Right, right.
All right, give us another story.
Well, to be honest, since listening to the Cesspool, my Jewish awareness went up tenfold.
So was mine. All right, give us another one. That's a good story about Stone.
All right, next article from the Daily Mail. They report on things the media back home refused to report. There is a backlash of two black homosexuals about their Instagram photos. They have two daughters from, an egg donor. One of the fathers made a deposit, and then they had these two girls. Anyways, I'm not
banking transaction.
How it happened. But anyways, they have these photos on Instagram, and people are actually disgusted, and they're letting them know. And these two black homosexuals are actually shocked that people would say, hey, we don't agree with your lifestyle, and use some pretty crude language. And if you go on the dailymail.co.uk, you can see the photos themselves, and they are really not appealing because, I mean, instead of a guy and a girl, it's a guy and a guy.
Well, what's wrong with our kind of love, they would say, right?
Right. right. And they're angry because people using, you know, just absolutely horrendous language. But, you know, when you put yourself out there, you're prepared to get some backlash. Like if I put a selfie photograph, boy, you know, I'm going to get all sorts of backlash. You know, how can you put that up? You know, there's children on the internet and things like that.
Well, they can do it. Believe me, that's their mission in life, to shock and awe, I guess, like the Desert Storm campaign. They intend to shock and awe all of us with one enormity after another.
You know, these segments are so rare, Scoop, where we're able to hit. We really like to invest in our stories, and we spend, you know, segment after segment sometimes really giving an exhaustive commentary on them. And I think that's important. It's part of our charm and part of what makes the cesspool the cesspool. But I do like these segments as a nice change of pace where we talk about two or three or four different stories in rapid succession, and you're providing us with that opportunity tonight. So what's number three? We've talked about Oliver Stone. We've talked about this Instagram photo. What do you got next for us, Scoop?
Okay, next Rylan Chamber has to deal with my former hometown, the city of New York. Mrs. Bill de Blasio, or Mrs. McRae, she wants a cabinet post in the de Blasio City Hall, the de Blasio administration. Now, I doubt that Mrs. de Blasio is going to make sure that the all the white applicants for the police and fire department get their fair shake. But God only knows what she's going to do to that once great city.
Scoop, Keith, rather, I want you to talk about what Scoop just brought up. You didn't hear the very beginning of his story because the bombardier had just walked into the studio and y'all were hugging each other and Keith had his headset off. But basically what he said was that Bill de Blasio's wife, and we've talked about the de Blasio family, she wants an office and a position in the cabinet or the government there in New York City now.
Apparently she hasn't heard of nepotism laws, which I'm sure they have even in New York to prevent that type of thing from happening. But, of course, a little thing like the law is never going to stop a liberal. So if a liberal woman decides that because her husband got elected to some office that she is actually entitled to share power with him, well, you know, how can anybody in their right mind find that objectionable? Apparently, in the minds of a liberal, that's the thought process.
Well, I'll tell you one thing they can both tackle is that school in Queens. Yeah. Scoop, you ever been to that neighborhood?
No, I don't, but I'm very familiar with Far Rockaway. Like the earlier caller said, you know, it was once the jewel of the city of New York, but of course, back in the so-called the day, they decided to put housing projects and a mass transit system right through Far Rockaway. So, you know, it's liberalism at its best.
And I'll tell you what, we need to salute Scoop here real quick while we have a pause. And you hear he's a little congested tonight. The show must go on, and he's like a postman, you know, with the rain, sleet, or snow. He's still here. Doesn't matter if he's working or not. He finds a way to call in every week, and we love you for it, Scoop.
Neither rain nor storm nor gloom of night will keep the postman from his appointed rounds, right? Okay, brother. We appreciate you, Scoop. And you're as big a part of the family as anybody. You have a great following here. People ask about you on the rare occasions when you don't show up. So keep up the good work, my friend. And you're our man in Havana. The man, you're behind enemy lines up there in deepest, darkest New York City.
Actually, it's Washington.
He's in Washington now, but he's an expat of New York. Keith knew that. You know, it's all relative to a Southerner. But you got one more quick hit for us, Scoop?
Yes, one of the contestants for the TV show The Bachelor, he made some disparaging remark about gays, and so now he's in hot water.
You and Sam Bushman, I tell you, y'all are reading the same tea leaves. I got that story from Sam. This is Juan Pablo. He is the new Bachelor on the hit series The Bachelor. And they said he's the first person of color to ever be a bachelor, but this is a guy with white skin, blonde hair, blue eyes, but because he comes from South America, they think that he's non-white. I mean, this just goes to show how stupid people are, but I mean, is it white? I mean, he's a conquistador, obviously descended from the white Spaniards who conquered that continent, but this is Juan Pablo, and he basically said that gays shouldn't be on the show. I mean, it's a dating show where a man tries to find a woman, so yes, I think gays would probably be inappropriate there, even more so than normal. I got Eddie and Keith cutting up here in the studio as we talk about the story. But tell us what he said real quick.
Well, you just said it yourself. He does not agree with the homosexual lifestyle. But I look at the guy's picture, I was like, I want to know where his grandfather was from 1933-1945.
Very good, Scoop. And, I think Juan Pablo said they were all perverted. But, you know, they're locked in. They can't fire him. He is the Bachelor. The whole show revolves around him. It's going to be interesting to see how ABC ducks this one. Thank you, Scoop. You know, a lot of shows have their token minority. We have our token Yankee here, and you're it, and we love you.
All right.
We'll talk to you next week. Stay tuned for the third hour, everybody.